A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in all their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you prostrate yourself and worship me." At this Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord. Well, we always read the same gospel on the first Sunday of Lent. And it obviously is, wants us to take a look at the kind of temptations we face and overcome them the way Jesus did. But it starts with this parallel passage, really, right from the beginning of the Bible, from the book of Genesis, in the creation of Adam and Eve and the temptation that they faced in the garden. And it's a great parallel because it teaches us about the biggest lie in the history of the universe. And the temptation that Eve faces there is the temptation to begin to believe, as the devil suggests, that somehow God doesn't want our happiness. That God is somehow an opponent or an obstacle to our fulfillment as human beings. And that's the way the devil tries to tempt Eve. So she no longer trusts in the goodness of this God that created them and put them in paradise, but somehow begins to believe that her happiness and God's law are somehow incompatible. And this is a pattern that's repeated over and over in human temptation and human sin. You might say that every time we sin, it's because we begin to doubt the goodness of God's commandments, that they're really in our best interest, that they're really for our good. And the devil says to Eve right there, "No, you will not die. God knows that when you eat of the fruit of that tree in the middle of the garden, your eyes will be open and you will be like gods, knowing good and evil." And that's the temptation that's repeated over and over. That we ourselves can determine what's good and evil, and that's somehow a threat to God. He's envious of our ability to proclaim good and evil and determine for ourselves what's good and evil. That he somehow put on the defensive when we assert ourselves. And yet God is so far beyond that. God gives us commandments because he knows they're good for us. He knows that those commandments keep us from destroying ourselves. And he knows that through obedience, like the obedience of Jesus, that we come to our fulfillment as human persons. After all, what does it mean to be made in the image and likeness of God? It means that we have intelligence, we can know things, we can know God, we can know the truth, and we have free will, where we can choose a path for ourselves. In those ways, we're like God. How could God be threatened by that? He wants us to act in the image and likeness, but it's through the obedience to his greater wisdom. But all throughout the ages, we begin to believe that lie the devil told, the father of lies, and begin to doubt God's goodness and his interest in us. The second thing we should keep in mind here is the obvious contrast that St. Matthew is drawing between the temptations of Jesus and the temptation of Eve. Jesus responds to the devil in a very striking way. To every temptation, he responds with Scripture. When the devil tempts him to turn the stones into loaves of bread, he says, "One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." When he tempts him to vanity, to jump off the temple parapet to attract attention, he quotes Scripture. He will command his angels concerning you, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And then finally, when the devil promises him the obedience of all the kingdoms of the world and all power on earth, if you'll only do it the devil's way and not the Father's way, "Get away from me, Satan. The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." So Jesus doesn't toy with the temptation. He doesn't consider it. And what does Eve do by contrast? She begins to dialogue with the devil. And that's her undoing. When the serpent asks the woman, "Did he really tell you not to eat of any of the trees of the garden?" "No," she responds. "We may eat of any of the trees in the garden except the one in the middle of the garden. For you shall not eat or touch it, lest you die." And the devil responds, "You will not die. God knows well that you will be like gods, knowing good and evil." And then she considers the temptation. And that's her downfall. And that's our downfall too with temptation. We need to put it out of our mind right away. Close the door. Seal it shut. Because when we dialogue with the devil, we lose. But all too often we do that. We look at how good the fruit appears, and we consider it. And that's our undoing. And finally, the first line of the gospel today, I think, can tell us a lot. You know, this whole scene takes place right after the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan by John. And then it says the Spirit led Jesus out into the desert. You would think that the next logical step for Jesus after having been baptized would be to go and begin preaching and doing miracles and healing people. And yet, that's not what he does. He allows himself to be led by the Spirit. In other words, he's not quite ready to begin his public ministry. Something needs to take place first. And it's this time alone in the desert to face up to the temptations that will come along again and again in his ministry. To go out and do sacrifice and penance in order to prepare himself. 40 days of fasting and prayer, 40 days of facing down temptation. That's quite a difficult thing to do. Can you imagine being out in the desert 40 days? But the Spirit pushes him to do something very difficult. And it made me think about how we maybe can cheapen Lent very often. How we give up something kind of marginal or superficial, something we probably shouldn't be doing anyway. And then we go back to it afterwards. I remember my dad back in the day. Every year for Lent, he would give up smoking. And every year on Easter Sunday, he'd start up again. For many years, it was the same ritual. And then he finally stopped. And so often we're just like that. So often we're just like that. We take on a temporary discipline and then we get over it and go back to the way we were. The Spirit pushes Jesus out into the desert to do something truly difficult. To deepen that self-mastery he has over himself and all his reaction, so that he can withstand the temptation of the devil. And those temptations are real for Jesus. Temptation to take the easier way. Turn the stone into bread. After all, you deserve it. Cut yourself some slack. The temptation then to vanity. Yeah, throw yourself off the temple. No, show off a little bit. You'll attract attention. That'll be good for your mission. If you're popular and people think highly of you. And then finally, look, I can deliver you the whole world. 100% of the people will be followers of yours if you do it my way, says the devil, rather than the Father's way. Those three temptations we face too. Temptation to sensuality, love of comfort. The temptation to vanity, to appearances, to popularity. The temptation to power and control rather than obedience and submission to the will of God. I think the Spirit wants to push each one of us too beyond those superficial Lenten penances. The church asks us for very little. But it's up to us to submit ourselves to a real serious Lenten regimen. How much do you want to grow spiritually? How much do you want to resist the temptation to sin? Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you into a desert as well. That desert where you really have to confront what's most wrong on your inside. Not something on the fringe, not something superficial, but something that goes deep. That's been disruptive of your relationship with God. Let the Spirit lead you there, where you make a life-changing decision, rather than just a routine, old, mediocre one.